Pop Culture Pastor.
So, Cody, this may or may not be exciting to you. I assume it would be. This should be exciting for everybody, I would think. But the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell is back this week. It's back.
Okay.
Not a big deal to you.
No.
I do like it when Taco Bell brings back something, some beloved menu item, because people got loud enough. It makes me think there's still a chance for my Taco Bell retro idea. What was that idea you asked? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Let me tell you.
I was going to say, this is the rebranding that you need.
Yeah.
From the Brahms guy to how can I get my Taco Bell retro guy?
I have shared my Taco Bell retro idea complete with logo and, you know, like which menu items it would have. Many times on social media, and have not been granted the support I thought it deserved. Or have I been noticed by Taco Bell's home office?
Instagram or TikTok, I think, is where you need to pour your efforts into.
Like, I think Taco Bell Retro could be the key to saving Chanute.
It could be the key to saving the world.
I mean, well, let's start with Chanute. Because, like, look, you know, the Chamber and Main Street, they're always like, the Google mural is a tourist attraction. And it's not. But Taco Bell Retro would get people off the highway. If there was a one-of-a-kind Taco Bell restaurant that was like all the decor was in 80s style and all they did, the menu was just items that Taco Bell didn't have on their regular menu anymore, people would totally get off the highway for that.
As long as you have Baja Blast, I'm good.
Like, I become James Earl Jones when I think about it. I'm like, oh, people will come, Ray. People would most definitely come. They'll come to Chanute and not know why. They'll pull off the highway looking for a piece of their past. They'll come to Taco Bell Retro. Oh, people will come, Ray. It's a can't-miss idea. It's the best idea I've ever had, by far. And the fact that Taco Bell hasn't jumped on this insults me.
I don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing, that that's the best idea you've ever had.
It's a no-brainer. It's a great thing, and I need more support. I need people on social media to realize that it's a great idea.
Influencers.
Mm-hmm. Cody, I want to ask you a question. And put a little thought into it. Maybe we'll come back and if you can think of an answer to this. What's a movie that you love that you don't expect anyone else to like? Like, what's a movie that you love that you wouldn't even like try to get your wife to watch? Because you're just like, there's no way she would want to watch this. She wouldn't like it. But you just know, like, because your preferences and your tastes are kind of just out there in this one area that there's this. Is there like a movie or a show that you like that you're just, yeah, no one else should like this? For me, wrestling's a lot like that.
Yeah, wrestling. Donnie Darko. I really love that movie.
Yeah, that movie's junk.
And like,
I'm with you on that one.
It's so far out there that like I expect like three people that live at home in like their mother's basement area just watch that movie.
Yeah, I have a movie in mind that I unashamedly love, even though I know most people would hate it. But I have it in mind, so if you can think of another, well, you already said
I can think of maybe a TV series.
Yeah, because it always seems like there's movies that everyone else likes that I just hate. The first one that comes to my mind is Basketball. Basketball. Why are you laughing? See? Like, Basketball was like a dumb comedy about a made-up sport from the creators of South Park. Stars Trey and Matt. And, like, it was so dumb, but I think it was the context that I saw it in. So Lawrence used to have a dollar theater. Like literally a dollar to go for a ticket to get in the movie. And it was a dollar theater. It would show all these older movies that had already left theaters, you know, but before it came out on DVD or whatever. And on a whim, we were like, hey, let's go to the Dollar Theater. We didn't even know what was playing. And we got there and we had to pick one, and basketball was about to start. So we're like, hey, let's go. All right, let's go see basketball. Because just because we were bored, we didn't have anything else to do. There wasn't.
You could have made a 20-minute phone call with that dollar.
There was no internet antics really to get up to back then. So no social media to lose ourselves in. And so we went and saw basketball. And I think it was like the best dollar I ever spent. I laughed so hard because I just expected it to be bad. And so when I laughed, I felt like it got me in this mood where I was willing to be much more forgiving, even though like a lot of the jokes are just so dumb, you know, like very Naked Gun-ish, which the Naked Gun movies weren't my favorite. I'm not really into that kind of humor, but for some reason, something with basketball clicked for me and I just loved it.
Okay. I really loved Airplane.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's something about the delivery that they have too, you know, the South Park guys. It just made it really funny. And that they are from the same generation I am. I think that helps because, so essentially basketball is like this game where, yeah, obviously they combine basketball and baseball, but you shoot like a free throw and the other team tries to psych you out. They were called psych outs. And they can basically say or do whatever they want while you're shooting to try and mess you up. But they were always like these kind of weirdly thought out things. So like one of them is like the guy's shooting. He's like, Steve Perry. He's like, he's just trying to check me. And I should have been gone. And then he misses the shot. And he's like, dude, I thought we said no more Journey psych outs. See, it's stupid. But it just, man, it hits me in my sweet pop culture spots.
So I had it, and now it's gone.
What?
But now I have a TV series. I have a TV series.
You COVID-brained. You've got the brain fog.
I don't think
have it's the brain fog. Have you been recently tested for COVID? Am I in danger right now?
I think you're good.
Okay.
It was a comedy, too, that, like...
Comedies are highly, I've noticed, highly subjective.
Yes, and it kind of reminded me of Airplane, like that style, but oh well. TV series Eureka. So it was on Sci-Fi Channel, and like it's supposed to be like this town that's run by the government, and like normal people actually are like doing weird jobs, and it was fun. I've thought of the movie. And it was nothing like Airplane. Sharknado, like the whole franchise up until the last one.
Yeah, that's definitely subjective. What was the TV show where the guy, if he touches people, they die? What was that show? That one was a weird show that some people really, really loved and most people didn't get. You know what show I'm talking about?
No.
It was very Tim Burton-ish. On in maybe like the early teens or the late aughts. But it was a guy where if he touched you, you died.
Touched by an angel.
No, it was not.
Was it Pushing Daisies?
It was Pushing Daisies, yes. My wife and I love that show, but it was so weird. It was gloriously weird. But that's like, my television sweet spots are all kind of like this question. Like, what's a movie that you love that you don't expect anyone else to like? My TV is kind of like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't expect anyone else to like wrestling. I know there's a lot of people that do, but there's a lot of people that don't get it. I don't expect other people to understand that the mixture of Superboy and Dawson's Creek just hit a sweet spot for me in Smallville.
Yeah.
Like, and I just loved Smallville. I don't expect people to, I mean, about the only mainstream thing that I really love from TV was Lost.
Oh, you are a This Is Us guy.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I'm not.
Just because I watch it doesn't mean I love it. I don't love This Is Us.
I'm going to say you love it and you have basically married it.
I mean, how dare you profile me like that? You're profiling me right now. Just because I watch it doesn't mean I love it. I watch lots of things I despise.
Law and Order.
I do not watch Law and Order. My parents, watch all the crime shows with my kids in their presence. That's the annoying part. Like, I go to pick up my kids that my kids are hanging out with the grandparents one day, and I walk in the door, and like my youngest daughter Drew is sitting on the couch with my stepdad watching like CSI Miami, and there's Horatio taking off his sunglasses and looking in a trunk at a dead body, which they show on the screen, and he puts on the sunglasses and is like, well, he really lost his head. You know, and I'm just like, what are you watching? She's five, Mark.
She will be great at one-liners.
CSI Miami. David Caruso forever. I am by no means a Tom Cruise guy, but I find myself weirdly excited to see Top Gun Maverick.
I mean, I'm going to watch it because I really love Top Gun, but I don't have any expectation with it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't before, but now I do because reviews are starting to come in. They seem to be good, and I'm just here for it. I'm here for a good continuation of 80s cheese. And that was, like, look, when you go back and rewatch some of those 80s movies, there's a level of cheese that some of those movies have, and Top Gun is the cheesiest.
If this one does not play Highway to the Danger Zone like 50 times and then Take My Breath Away like 25 times, I don't even know why I'm watching. So, because they're always cutting to music and Tom Cruise with the wind in his hair.
There's a ratio of my enjoyment of this film, and it's the ratio of Kenny Loggins and Berlin references to the minutes in the movie. And the higher that ratio is, the happier Dave will be. I mean, give me all the Kenny Loggins.
All of it.
I mean, throw in I'm All Right, too, from Caddyshack, because that's a great, that's just a great song.
It's fun. I mean, if you get the Caddyshack Gopher to dance, too, I don't even need that one explained.
I mean, you've hit my sweet spot now. I could talk for a long time about the Gopher from Caddyshack.
American Hero.
I can still do the dance. I perfected it as a kid to, you know, be the center of attention because nobody loved me. Because it was the 80s, man. That's not a dig on my parents. That's just how it was in the 80s.
So did it work?
Huh? The like, dance?
Yeah.
No. Sadly, no.
Okay.
Most of the 80s, most of Generation X will tell you about how unloved they were. That's just how it was.
Yeah.
But man, could we groove. We could dance. Cody's got me hooked on all these online games. Wordle. So I play Wordle. But then you got me on Hurdle, which is like a music guessing game. Like you play a second of the beginning of the song. You have to try and guess. And you're less celebrated if you take more seconds to guess, like if you keep moving on.
Yeah.
And then you just showed me a movie game, Framed, where they show you a random frame, still frame from the movie.
They had one from, was it Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
What was the first, what was the frame? What was the first shot? Do you remember? Was it the Canyon of the Crescent Moon?
No.
Was it
the second shot was Harrison Ford outside the window of his classroom. So it was either the first movie or third movie.
Well, if it's he's outside the window, you know it's the third one because that's when he's trying to get away from the students who are pestering him about getting their grades, and which he has fallen behind on. I'd have nailed that. I want to know what the first one was, though, because I bet I would have got it because that's one of those movies I've seen 1,000 times.
I don't remember. Cody, it took me the second guess to get it.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
And now DJ Dangerfield sending us games.
Now he's sending us games? Well, I don't got any more time. What kind of game?
Trivia?
Okay, I'm in. I'm in. DJ sent us a game, but you don't compete against other people. You just compete against yourself. And why would I want to do that? It's not worth playing if I can't win big against you, Cody.
Exactly.
Right? I learned that from the Mighty Ducks.
Although I did win Hurdle today, so... Na-na-na-boo-boo.
Well, stick congratulations. I mean, you get to hang your hat on you listen to Miley Cyrus music. So I don't know what that makes you as a minister, but it clearly makes you evil. So I win.
Don't listen to Miley Cyrus music. I just know it.
You just know it? I can honestly say I've never heard the beginning of that song. That was like, so Hurdle plays you the beginning of the song, and I've only ever heard the chorus like when I happened to see it used on a, you know.
Like once it gets to the chorus, it becomes trash. I like the intro. The intro sounds really cool because she kind of gets a little choppy with it.
By the way, we're talking about Wrecking Ball.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't know what this says.
Anyway, DJ sent us a cool history game. You have to put things in chronological order the way they happen, which I dig, but I don't dig that I don't get to play against other people. Like I said, it's not worth playing if I can't win big against you. And I mean, you know, the royal you. That's not a real thing.
No.
I failed English a lot of times. So Kanye West winning all the Christian music awards, all six of them at the Billboard Music Awards. This is where it becomes weird, where you have a secular entity giving out what says Christian on it. And my concern is this, is that like, man, Kanye's got some issues. First of all, he's got mental issues that it seems like he doesn't get enough help for.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel bad for him. Like I want to help him. He reminds me a lot of Britney Spears, maybe a little less out of control. Britney seems more out of control.
So my big question is like, is it just like straight streams and radio play for Billboard? Because with Grammys, it's voted on by a collective. Now, if for Billboard, it would make sense that it would just be like, how long were you on our charts because of airplay and streams? Because if that's the case, then, yeah, Kanye probably is.
Yeah.
The person that should win, because Kanye had a huge secular following, and that secular following gave Kanye's albums a chance.
I mean, I will say this about Donda specifically, his newest album, which was, I mean, it was like double length. It was huge. But he's super vulnerable, like, because he's new to faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's super vulnerable, and it's realistic in that way. Like, we often have, like, Christians often have, like, this honeymoon period thinking about when people get saved or come to the faith. But often there's real questions still happening for people.
Yeah.
And when we don't address it, we don't do them any favors. And so in one sense, this album's full of songs where he's really struggling with mercy and forgiveness and grace, you know, like he's struggling with that. And there's something raw and open about that I dig. But yeah, what are these awards about? Like, is it just about who sells the most? Because that'll be Kanye, because he's a secular artist for all intents and purposes who now just does spiritual music.
Yeah, now if it's like based on actual song quality / like just overall wellness, I mean, I can put several artists above Kanye. Maybe not in the rap category, although I would like venture to put Andy Mineo above him.
It's just strange. It's a strange, you know, combination of our secular world and our Christian world. And to be involved in Christian music specifically, like we are here, it's weird. For Kanye West to sweep all the Billboard Music Christian Awards when Maverick City Music, you know, exists.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that's great. I love what Kanye does. And we talked about the benefits of what he's done, like that, how huge his influence is. Let's not leave Justin Bieber out of this, too. Justin Bieber came out with an EP that I had a couple songs that were wonderful on it.
Mm-hmm.
Great songs. He's in the same boat as Kanye is, where like his sphere of influence is so big that him just talking about his Christianity, living it out in even the smallest way is huge.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, well, is this about sales? Is this about music? Because if it's about music, Maverick City Music for King and Country, I mean, they're all out there making really, really good music.
Yeah, like, I don't think that one artist should sweep all six categories. Yeah. I can see, like, three or four artists winning between the six.
Well, and you wonder if, like, the people who vote on these things. So, like, I don't know if Billboard has, like, a bank of voters, if they're all secular artists, like the Academy Awards. You know how, like, the Academy Awards, a lot of the actors are in the voting group because it's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts or whatever, right? And so Will Smith was a member of the voting body.
Not anymore.
Yes. But you wonder if they're like, they don't know. Here's what I run into the most as I'll bottom line this, as someone who runs a Christian radio station, this is what I run into the most. People still have a dated view of Christian music because they don't listen to it. And so they think, oh, but Christian music's not as good. The quality's not as good, which in the past was true. If you had the talent to be a secular artist, you did that. Which meant that the Christian artists, the talent level wasn't as high, with a few notable exceptions. But that's not true anymore. We just talked about Maverick City Music for King and Country. People who have the talent, Lauren Daigle's a great example. People who have the talent to be successful secularly, who make Christian music by choice. And you have a lot more people like that. And the talent level in Christian music has exploded in about the last, I would say, 10 years.
I literally had someone I was talking to last week that another person brought up Christian music, and they're like, oh, I don't listen to it. The best people are like Amy Grant and Mercy Me, and I'm like,
no.
They haven't been a thing forever. Get out of here.
All due respect to Mercy Me, but the talent level in Christian music now makes them look like hacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, and listen, I don't mean that to be insulting. Mercy Me's great. But the people making music now in this state, like the talent level in Christian music is just off the charts. And the industry doesn't do them any favors because the industry will still try to push Mercy Me on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This kind of like, you know, again, no offense to Mercy Me or people who like Mercy Me, but the sound even is dated. It's dated. And we don't try to, the Christian music industry doesn't try to access a younger audience by playing newer, younger music. They're trying to push because they don't want the money train to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is shocking to everyone that K-Love might be motivated by those little funding drives they do every three times a year or whatever it is.
3,000 times a year.
You might Google how many stations K-Love has. Just be some fun trivia for you, and think about it. Like, look, they do lots of great things. Don't get me wrong, but they also run a lot of stations. And if you multiply that by how much money you think the average station makes through their fund drives, it's a lot of money. And then you'll start to see why they play the same 15, 20 artists that are mostly old school guys, people. They're not branching out too much. Anyways. The Christian music industry doesn't do itself any favors as far as this kind of stuff goes. And then when these voters see the block of nominees they're voting for, they're like, oh, yeah, Maverick City Music. I've never heard of them because I don't listen to Christian music. Oh, Kanye.
The big cheese.
He must be more talented than everyone else because he's successful in the secular world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in a day and age where that's not necessarily true. If I didn't think that, this station wouldn't be here right now.
Indeed.
I think I'm a very patient person, Cody.
Name it and claim it.
I'm a very patient person. But every once in a while, the world gets to be, I don't know whether it's coordinated by the devil. Maybe it's coordinated with, and he puts this thought in everyone's brain. Like, I'm going to be an idiot. That's the thought. And then everyone commences being an idiot, except for me, of course. And I just like, oh, I just had one of those days yesterday. And now I'm feeling like, so I'm here this morning and I'm happy. I got the joy of the Lord. It's in there.
Yeah.
But I also have this like very agitated, maybe like 80-ish bitter old dude who's also in there. I like feel like I have schizophrenia today.
What Excuse you me. Are describing is Walter Matthau in Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men.
Yeah, I love those movies. Those movies are so good. Why are they so lovable?
For some reason, we really like feisty old people as a society.
Does it just remind us of our grandparents?
Because, like, Golden Girls.
Yeah, they were feisty.
Yeah, we like it when they have angst.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Evidently, it becomes cute when you're an adult, but or an old adult. But right now, it's not.
It's not a good look on me.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna shake it off. We're gonna shake it off. What's that? Florence and the Machine song. Shake it off when the devil's on your back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Taylor Swift song.
No.
Because it's no. Literally called "Shake It Off."
No. We don't want anyone to know my Taylor Swift fandom. Okay. That's just between you and me and the microphone. And no one else is listening right now. No one else heard that.